The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
I know you're going to dig this.
Now it's time for the Tri-State Area's brand new radio talk show, Between the Minutes, featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals in the community. Between the Minutes is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. And now here's our host for Between the Minutes, Peter Dottie.
Good morning and welcome to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest radio talk show, brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature Inside Your Computer. This is similar to my newspaper article, Inside Your Computer, in the Philadelphia Public Record, discussing many interesting topics about computer security. When I report about hacker activity, it normally is against businesses or individuals who are then robbed of their money, or against government agencies who are robbed of secret information. This time, I'm reporting that Al-Qaeda was hacked. Yes, the infamous Al-Qaeda was harmed instead of doing harm. Their secure chat site was taken down along with two other websites, leaving them with no trusted means of communications on the Internet. In this case, no one has taken credit, but speculation is that it may have been the United States or Great Britain, if countries, or a hacker named Jester, who describes himself as a hacker for good. Al-Qaeda will recover and either restore their website or create new ones, but it must have hurt to be hacked. In a small way, they got a taste of their own medicine. Next is more hacker news. Everyone knows the role of China in attacking the United States' internet computers. It's so common, it's not even newsworthy. Recently, the Chinese newspaper Liberation Army Daily stated, "The U.S. military is hastening to seize the commanding military heights on the internet. Another internet war is being pushed to a stormy peak. Their actions remind us that to protect the nation's internet security, we must accelerate internet defense development and accelerate steps to make a strong internet army." All I can say to this is, go USA, go USA, go USA. In any claims that China is not hacking U.S. systems, I quote from John Breeden II of Government Computer News magazine, who was the victim of the magazine's test network being hacked. John stated, "These attacks provided evidence that they were coming from China and were even tracked down to specific IP addresses in that country, mostly surrounding Beijing. Make no mistake, there is a coordinated and ongoing effort by groups of hackers to invade websites based in the United States." An organized crime attack Trojan horse program known as TDL4 is becoming serious. There is no current known way of disinfecting TDL4 other than to wipe out the computer and reinstall everything from scratch. TDL4 is hard to get rid of because, among other things, it infects the master boot record of the computer, which allows TDL4 to install before the operating system and any antivirus programs. In addition, TDL4 will disinfect any other Trojans from crime gangs, not their own, just to make sure that it has full control over the victim. The sad part is that other crime gangs are watching the TDL4 Trojan, and they are starting to copy parts of its design. One of the newest is PopuReb, which also installs part of itself into the master boot record. Microsoft is currently advising that if you're infected by PopuReb, to reinstall Microsoft Windows from the box, there is no cure. Since TDL4 and PopuReb generally get installed in a computer by visiting an infected website, it is critical that you have a good antivirus product installed, updated, and running. This is a case where an ounce of prevention will save you a pound of pain later. In the past, I spoke about the FBI's Operation Fish Fry, which is a play on words since they went after con artists, crooks on the internet. Con artists use a method of psychological manipulation called phishing, spelled P-H-I-S-H, which is a play on words for phishing, spelled F-I-S-H. These crooks consider their victims to be fish, but in this case, they are the ones who got fried. The IDG News Service is reporting that Kenneth Joseph Lucas II of Los Angeles was sentenced to 11 years for managing a phishing operation in conjunction with Egyptian hackers. He pleaded guilty to 49 counts of bank and wire fraud, computer fraud, aggravated identity theft, and money laundering conspiracy charges. When arrested, authorities found that he was growing 100 marijuana plants at his home, and he was sentenced to an additional 5 years, of which some of which will be served consecutively, for a total of 13 years in prison. Since Kenneth was 27 at his sentencing, he will be 40 years old when released, having spent one-third of his life in prison. In wrapping up this week's segment of Inside Your Computer, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article, Inside Your Computer, every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record newspaper. We'll be right back with today's guest on Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM.
The Between the Minutes radio show is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com, for the best in antivirus software security.
My name is Anthony Murphy. I'm the Executive Director of TownWatch Integrated Services. I'd like you to reach out to me so we can start a TownWatch in your community. We work in the city of Philadelphia in all 22 police districts, and we'd like to work with you to improve the quality of life in the neighborhood where you live. You can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can reach us at www.townwatch.net. Reach out. Start a TownWatch in your community. Let's improve the quality of life in the city of Philadelphia.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show and talking to you about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you could purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. That's 1 year of protection for the low price of $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that is 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
Between the Minutes continues on 860 AM WWDB. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. www.cyber.com.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, business people, and professionals. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus security, go to www.cyber.com. Let's get back to today's show and guest on Between the Minutes. Let's welcome Montgomery County Commissioner Bruce Castor Jr. Welcome back to the show.
Well, happy to be invited back. Welcome to Montgomery County, and it's a wonderful new digs here for you.
Oh, yeah, this is great. This show now broadcasts a lot further. You can actually listen to this show in New York City now.
Goodness gracious. I hope I get a lot of votes out of there.
I don't think so, but maybe somebody will hear you and say, wow, what a great guy. Let's bring him up to New York. I don't know. Who knows? So you've been busy since the last show that you appeared on, and there's been a million things. I got some Times Herald papers here again. This is kind of cool. The Times Herald, Wednesday, June 22nd, court rejects ethics policy. Castor, 15 judges agree with me. This was an illegal power grab. Can you talk about that?
Well, sure. I mean, from the beginning, setting aside all of the politics involved and that this was an effort.
Oh, don't set it aside. That's the good
stuff.
Well,
you see, people ask me And obviously we can get to that, but people ask me, how could I be so sure all the way back when they first began discussing this that it would never pass through the court system? And that's because it can't, because the whole idea of having separation of powers and having checks and balances on the government is so that one equally elected branch of government can't tell another equally elected branch of government what to do, especially if it's the commissioners telling law enforcement officials, especially the DA and the sheriff, that you can or can't do stuff that could be used by unscrupulous commissioners to avoid being investigated and prosecuted themselves. So, I mean, there was absolutely no chance whatsoever from the first day that this would ever go through. So now you have to ask yourself, why would people who know or should know that this will never go through continue along those lines? And that the only possible conclusion, it was a desire to show who's the boss and that the commissioners were the biggest guns in town and that they were tough guys and that the DA and the sheriff had not messed with them. Let's remember, the last two district attorneys both ran against and defeated in contested elections the sitting chairman of the county commissioners. So that's a pretty dangerous job for a county commissioner to leave unchecked. And that's what these two guys were afraid of. They were afraid that maybe the DA's office would produce candidates that might run against them and beat them. Of course, little did they know that the political parties would throw them out on their ears anyway, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, well, those two, they're fighting each other over who can appear to be the bigger idiot, basically.
It is astounding. I mean, there are now four of us nominated to run for re-election, two Democrats and myself and my partner, Jenny Brown. And all four of us are running as reformers against these two guys. I mean, it's the ultimate smackdown is that nobody, except for themselves, think they're doing a good job. I mean, literally nobody. And, you know, because I'm running a political campaign and we do polling, so I know kind of what the public thinks. And these guys couldn't get elected to anything. Even if they had a gun, they couldn't get elected.
Well, no. I mean, let's face it. First of all, this isn't the only power grab. I mean, didn't Matthews fire somebody who happened to be part of your campaign just so he could take his job?
Well, they did that routinely. I mean, they went through the entire government and ascertained who they thought was a friend and ally of mine. Half the time they were wrong or people hardly even knew, but they fired them anyway because they wanted to make sure, you know, kill them all and let God sort them out sort of thing. I mean, it absolutely is amazing. And if anybody ever writes the history of Montgomery County, they'll think it's fiction because you can't believe it could possibly be true.
Well, they do write it. I have two volumes of the history of Montgomery County, but unfortunately, they only come out with one edition every 100 years. And we're in the middle of one of those right now. You know, we got to wait another 50 years or so for that to come out. Although I'm sure there'll be some big chapters in there about what's going on now. This is hilarious.
Hopefully, I'll be around to help contribute to some of it. I mean, it really is unbelievable. And this is what you get when you reject what the public wants. When we ran in 2007, you could not have had any starker contrast between political platforms. You had the left-wing platform of Joe Hoeffel, which was borrow as much money as possible, spread it around, and engage in economic development. Anytime a politician uses the terms economic development, grab your wallet. Because what that means is they're not using their own money for economic development. They're spending your money to spread it around to their friends in the guise of economic development. All you have to do is read the paper just today and see the great stimulus program. Somebody calculated that if you gave every man, woman, and child a $100,000 check who benefited from the stimulus program, we would have saved $2.5 billion because it was so expensive per job. I mean, that's the whole idea. I mean, so we had the economic stimulus, the spend a lot of money campaign of the Democrats, and then we had us, the fiscal conservatives. Fiscal conservatives win the election. The voters thought they were getting people who weren't going to borrow, weren't going to spend, and weren't going to engage in economic development, and they got entirely to the other side. Now, little did they know that the Obama revolution would fizzle and that the public would decide that maybe debt and spending is not the way to go.
Wow. Well, this show is live, and you can call in. We are at 610-664-4100. You can call and ask Bruce any question that you want. Again, 610-664-4100. Now, what's happening to the bond ratings for the county?
Well, remember, a bond issue is only rated when you issue one.
Right.
So what you're left with is looking at what the last one was and then calculating how it is you have done financially since the last one was issued and when you want to issue another one. The last time it was issued, they gave us the AAA rating, but they used the terms with negative outlook, which means that is the poorest showing that Montgomery County has ever had. That's Moody's telling investors the next time if these guys don't get their act together, the bond rating will fall. Now, to most people that I'm speaking, political and governmental jargon doesn't mean anything. So I'll explain why the bond rating is so important. The higher the bond rating, AAA is the highest, means the government can borrow money at the cheapest possible rate and does not have to buy insurance over its failure, the suspected failure that they might not be able to meet the obligation. So it is far, far cheaper on the taxpayer that the bond rating remain its highest. It is also a gauge of what the financial community thinks of the health of Montgomery County. So when the financial community sees that we spend $20 million a year more than we take in every year for the last four, and that we've jacked our debt up to its maximum level in history, even adjusted for inflation, they give us a negative outlook on our bond rating, which means the next time we could be in deep trouble.
But the last bond was actually for the prison, correct?
It was for, it was for the prison and some other projects that went along with that. The problem is that was the second time we had borrowed for the same project.
But none of the money went to the prison.
The first time it did not. What happened was in 2007, before I took office, the commissioners borrowed money for a prison expansion project, which was popular at the time, mm-hmm. and I think probably still is popular. Then during the course of our administration, I kept asking, do we have money to pay for this? Have we borrowed money to pay for that? And they kept telling me the answer was yes. What they didn't tell me was that the money was earmarked for the prison and not these other projects, and it turned out that when it came time to actually construct the prison, we had spent all the money and had to borrow for it again.
That's funny. That's like going and getting a mortgage twice on a house that's already mortgaged. It's ridiculous. But my understanding is that some of the money was even spent on things that really wasn't county business. Is that correct?
Most of it was. Whenever we engage in, quote, economic development, we're sending money into the private sector or into public sectors that are not part of Montgomery County's government and using that money to try to spur investment in those areas. So, for example, if we had a road project, we might earmarked $5-6 million for improvement on a state road. Not a county road,
well,
state
that's,
road.
In fact, they did that.
Right. Matter of fact, tens of millions of dollars has gone into spending on roads that belong to someone else. So at the other end of it, there's a road improvement for a road that belongs to someone else.
Which is ridiculous because there's plenty of county roads and county projects that money could have been spent on that would have been just as good of a stimulus. So, you know, the question is, why that? I mean, who benefited from giving this money away in a way that was not in the best interest of the citizens of the county, or even justifiable. I mean, you can't justify paying for repairs to somebody else's road.
Oh, well, that's an easy answer. Each one of these road improvements requires a study and requires an engineer and requires an architect and requires a paver and a contractor. And all of these people compete for that business. And it just so happens that frequently it goes to people who ultimately either contribute to one of the other commissioner's campaigns or have contributed to one of the other commissioner's campaigns. You'll recall Commissioner Huffle ran for governor last year. I think he got something like 9% of the vote statewide, so it was an abysmal showing. If you look at his campaign finance reports, you'll find out that a great deal of that money for his governor run came from people who got contracts that he gave out either as commissioner or as chairman of the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission for projects that we didn't need. And you make a very good point, is now I'm being told that we need $50 million to upgrade the police radio system, that the county courthouse is about to collapse into the parking garage, and the county administration building is about to fall down. Now, if you told me these things in 2007, we would have had the money to pay for these things out of the money we had in savings and the money that we had borrowed that we could then pay debt service on from our enormous savings account of almost $100 million. The fact is, we spent all of our cash and all of our borrowed money on all of these economic stimulus projects that we didn't need, and now for things that we actually do need, we have no money.
Well, it's a sorry story, but unfortunately it's a common story. I guess there's really nothing we can do. We can't go back to Matthews and Hoffel and say, you know, listen, you guys threw this money away. Now give it to us.
Well, no, you can't. But what you can do is you can try to take steps to see that it never happens again. The first is you can vote in the election and vote for me and for my partner, Jenny Brown, so that we can try to reverse some of the things that Hoffel and Matthews started. Also, we got to give a great deal of thought to whether the county should go to a home rule charter so that you have more commissioners, maybe five commissioners instead of three, that are elected regionally so that they have to answer to a segment of the county. Maybe pay them half as what we are paid now, make them part-time, and so they're more responsive to the citizenry. Maybe have a debt ceiling for the amount of debt you're allowed to incur. These are all radical concepts, you know, that maybe we should be engaging in. Maybe it should never be that the party that wins the election is thrown out of power and the people's choice is denied having any say in the government. Maybe we could change that with a home rule charter. I mean, so there are some things that we can do. Now, the political parties, I mean, you have to realize how astounding this is. Both Hoffel and Matthews are three-term incumbent county commissioners. Both of them ran as their party's nominee for statewide office. Joe as a senator against Arlen, and Jim for lieutenant governor. Joe ran for governor and served in the Congress and in the state legislature. You're talking long-time entrenched politicians. They did such a poor job that their respective political parties didn't even let them get to their own conventions before they told them, we're not going to nominate you for re-election. That is almost unheard of. There was a comment in one of the newspaper stories that I read online this morning, a query actually, asking if this is the longest lame duck administration in the county's history. Because as of January, we knew that Hoffel and Matthews would be out of office the following January. So we know how the public reacts to a lame duck sessions of the General Assembly from Election Day in November until Swearing In Day in January and all the mischief that goes on there. Imagine the mischief that's going on in an entire year where the majority commissioners can do anything they want and never have to answer to the voters.
Well, I mean, I think that's exactly what this newspaper article about the court rejecting ethics policy is about. They're lame ducks. They don't have to answer to anyone. They don't have to. They can do what they want, and they're doing what they want. They're making hay while the sun shines because, you know, when it comes time to get reelected, they're not getting reelected. They're not even running.
That's right. They were bounced out on their ear. Both of them announced they were going to run for reelection, and both of them had to withdraw when they didn't have any political support. I mean, two issues that have been in the news now, and you follow the Times Herald, which covers county politics and county government pretty thoroughly. Two big issues that are in the news are whether we should toll 422 to pay for road improvements and whether we should allow use of the Willow Grove Naval Air Station to continue as an airport. All four of the candidates running for commissioner have taken the same stance against tolling and against the Willow Grove Naval Air Station being used as an airport. Now, I don't know whether the reasons are all the same, but they've all taken negative positions. But Hoffel and Matthews are still bulling ahead with those plans because, hey, they don't care about what the public thinks because they're going to be out.
Right. Well, they don't have to care. And there's probably some power or money to be made in the meantime.
I agree. And, you know, it would seem to me that if this administration was a success by any measure at all, you would have at least one of the four people running for commissioner singing their praises. And all you have is all four of us running away from them as fast as you can. And you have the Democrats trying to pin the Hoffel Matthews disaster on me since I happened to be a county commissioner at the time. The fact that I voted against everything that the party censured Matthews, that sort of gets lost in the shuffle.
Actually, what's kind of funny is that if Hoffel was by himself, he would look horrible. But next to Matthews, he actually looks a little better.
Well, I think that Joe had no idea how bad Jim really was. And he got so far down the road with him that it got to the point where he couldn't figure out a way to extricate himself. I mean, he doesn't have to agree with me politically, but at least I'm honest. So if you tell me something and I tell you something in return, then you can take what I said to the bank, even if you don't like it. But with Jim, the truth is sort of a moving target.
And considering everything, it's a moving target that's doing about 80 miles an hour.
80 miles an hour, but doing donuts at the same time.
It really is both very funny and very, very sad at the same time. I mean, these guys basically have hijacked Montgomery County, which is one of the wealthiest counties in Pennsylvania, and they're just using it as their own personal playground.
Well, they've turned us into a laughingstock. It would be one thing if it was their personal playground, but the government was still being run efficiently. But, I mean, the ethics policy, you understand no commissioners in 300 years since William Penn thought they had the power to tell another elected branch of government what to do. But these guys thought that they did. And I told them from the very first day, there's no way that the courts were going to allow this. And they just bull ahead with it anyhow.
Well, they thought they would just see if they could get away with it.
Right.
I mean, what does it cost them to do it? They're not going to get reelected. It's not money coming out of their pocket. But if they are able to do it, then they might be able to get something out of it.
Well, right. But then the opposite, of course, is the truth. It costs the taxpayers money to defend their folly. And worse yet, from the commissioner's standpoint, it changed the law of Pennsylvania. It cemented the law of Pennsylvania for all time. I mean, there are counties around Pennsylvania where the commissioners and the elected officials get along and try and work things out and try to work under the same rules. But now they never have to anymore. They cemented down for all time that there's a separation of powers among the elected officials, and the county commissioners can never tell other elected officials what to do.
Well, you know, that's probably a good thing, you know, in my opinion. On the other hand, there's always budgetary considerations. If somebody else needs money out of the county budget, you can put stipulations on how your money is being spent by them. So there's always going to be some interplay.
Checks and balances, which right. is what we expect. But, I mean, you do understand that the county commissioners are being sued by the sheriff, the district attorney, and the controller. So we're bipartisan targets of the other elected officials. I mean, I'll bet you that has never happened, not just in Montgomery County history, in any place in Pennsylvania where three row officers have sued the commissioners at the same time.
You're probably right about that. But then there's probably never been a case where there's been somebody exactly like, Matthews and Hoffel.
That's true. I think that you could not have sat down and drawn out a poorer pair of candidates to run an important government. You could not have done it.
Yeah, I was thinking of like Laurel and Hardy, but you know what? Laurel and Hardy actually always won in the end. You know,
plus they were good-hearted,
and they were the good guys. These guys are just malefactors. They're just bad people. They know they're bad people. They don't care. They're going to flaunt it in all of our faces, spend our money on ridiculous junk like this ethics policy stuff. And it doesn't cost them a penny, not 1 cent out of their pocket.
Well, Laurel and Hardy is not an apt comparison.
Well, the two stooges then.
I was thinking more like the Joker and the Riddler.
Oh, wow. Well, wait a minute. The Joker and the Riddler. Could one of them be the Penguin, possibly?
So, I mean, you know, it's two people with bad motives who don't know what they're doing, as opposed to Laurel and Hardy who have good motives and don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked Laurel and Hardy movies, and I don't like these guys because they just really don't care about any of us. They care about themselves and only themselves, and that's really the end of their story. And of course, that's why the parties have thrown them out.
I always knew that Matthews was finished. I mean, when you get censured by your own party, by the party chairman, and unanimously censured by the leadership of the party, you never can come back from that without switching parties, and the Democrats wouldn't have him. With Hoffel, I was a little surprised. I thought that you had a guy who had a long career. The Democratic Party would be nowhere in this county without Joe Hoffel. To throw him out on his ear, I thought, was a little surprising. I really did. I thought that he deserved better than that.
Well, I think there were other circumstances that, you know, perhaps you didn't see. There were other Joe had been losing critical support for a long time, and it was nobody's fault but Joe's. I mean, he just underestimated a lot of people, and I think that's what happened with him. And then it might be right. Maybe he did get sucked into this whole thing. But you know what? He's responsible for his actions. He did it. It doesn't matter if he was strung along or not strung along. He did it. He's responsible. He's the one that has to pay the price for his actions. So You're listening to Between the Minutes on 860 AM WWDB and live on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. We'll be right back with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM WWDB.
The Between the Minutes radio show is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com, for the best in antivirus software security.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
My name is Anthony Murphy. I'm the Executive Director of TownWatch Integrated Services. I'd like you to reach out to me so we can start a TownWatch in your community. We work in the city of Philadelphia in all 22 police districts, and we'd like to work with you to improve the quality of life in the neighborhood where you live. You can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can reach us at www.townwatch.net. Reach out. Start a TownWatch in your community. Let's improve the quality of life in the city of Philadelphia.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show and talking to you about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you could purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. That's 1 year of protection for the low price of $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that is 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
Between the Minutes continues on the Tri-State Area's Information Talk Station, 860 WWDB.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, Tri-State Area's new radio talk show. I'm Pete Rodotti. Our host is Bruce Castor, Montgomery County Commissioner. So we were talking a little bit during the break about different things, including the fact that Castor and Brown fired the opening salvo of campaign, according to Times Herald. And you were telling me how you thought that was going to go.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting thing. What I did was when we announced we were running for election, I pointed out that the that 4 years ago, the Democrats went out and the Democratic chairman, Mr. Groen, went out and handpicked Joe Huffel to head their ticket because he was going to be the great savior of Montgomery County and was going to bring Montgomery County into the Democrats' column. Of course, we all know that the election didn't work out the way they had hoped and that and that Huffel was unable to pull his running mate across the finish line, and I was able to pull mine, unfortunately, across the finish line. And nevertheless, we got the Huffel agenda, and we had the entire campaign that Huffel had laid out in 07 enacted. And so that turned out to be a disaster. So Mr. Groen dumps Mr. Huffel and goes out and recruits Josh Shapiro, the state representative, former deputy speaker of the General Assembly, one of the main architects of the great Rendell deficit over the past 8 years, and recruits him and throws Commissioner Huffel out. To my point was, last time I told you it was a disaster picking Huffel. It turned out to be right. So they got rid of him, and now they picked another one. What makes you think the Democrats have gotten any smarter in their candidate selection over the past 4 years? And Huffel calls me a phony, that I'm as much to blame as he is for the disaster in county government. Of course, I voted against all of their budgets and all of their crony hires and big spending. And I had to think when I read in the newspaper that him calling me a phony is like Bernie Madoff calling somebody a thief. I mean,
that's funny.
I mean, you know, and what's really funny is that the Shapiro-Richards campaign answered my charges as saying that that was negative campaigning. And negative campaigning is like saying, don't vote for this guy because he's a bad driver or he got arrested for DUI or something like that. I mean, it's not bad. It's not negative campaigning to say we tried these policies. They failed. Why would we go in that direction again? That's just truthful campaigning.
So before Huffell Matthews, Montgomery County had money. It had a AAA bond rating. It was running well. There weren't fights between different elected officials. And now it's all gone. Now the money's gone. It's in debt to its eyeballs. The AAA bond rating is in jeopardy, which means taxes might have to go up. There's fighting everywhere. There's lawsuits everywhere. And they're trying to elect a clone?
Well, I mean, that's going to be the crux of the campaign. I mean, our campaign, Jenny Brown and I will argue that if you vote for the other side, you're going to get the real thing. You'll get Huffell and Matthews all over again. If you elect us, you'll get what you should have had in 07 had the election results been implemented. And I think that the Democrats will not go to the defense of Huffell and Matthews. I think that they will say that they're the true fiscal conservatives and that they know what Montgomery County's prescription for rehabilitation is, and don't pay any attention to that guy Castor. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I think that that's what their prescription is going to be. No one is going to be backing the Huffell Matthews group. Now, so what we're going to be left with is do leopards change their spots or not? You have to look at Representative Shapiro's voting record in Harrisburg, which has been liberal and big spending and, you know, taxes and borrowing and all that. You have to look at the same record that Leslie Richards has in White Marsh, and then you get compare that to my votes and compare it to Commissioner Jenny Brown's votes that have been fiscally conservative votes, and say, okay, well, Castor and Brown will vote like they have in the past, and in order to vote for Richards and Shapiro, you have to expect that they will vote against what they have done in the past, and that somehow they have changed over time, and that they will somehow then be fiscally conservative. But nobody's going to think that the county is financially well run, because other than Huffell and Matthews in their own delusional minds, there is no one who thinks that.
Geez, do you think the county's going to end up with layoffs?
I think it will be by attrition. I think we'll have to reduce staff to the greatest amount possible. But a lot of people don't realize that the staff that the county has are the ones who provide the services that people want. When you show up at the treasurer's office, for example, because you want to buy a dog license or you want to buy a hunting license or any of the other things that office is responsible for dealing with the public, most people can handle waiting in line for 5 minutes. But your wait in line ends up being a half an hour. Now you start to get a little annoyed that is the parking meter going to be running out, and because you only have one counter person as opposed to two, somebody is delinquent on their child support, and a woman is suffering because she doesn't have any money to feed her children and to pay the mortgage or pay the rent because her deadbeat husband isn't paying the child support, but there's no deputy sheriff to go enforce the arrest warrant because the deputy sheriffs are all in courtrooms or all otherwise deployed because we haven't got the personnel. I mean, that's where the public sees the cutback in personnel. Or, you know, we can't fill certain spots because we've mistreated our employees to the point where we don't give them a fair wage. We've cut into what was otherwise favorable benefits. And next thing you know, people can get jobs in other counties or other government sectors and would rather not come to us. So either we don't get the best people or we don't get anybody at all. So, I mean, there's a fine line between can you provide the services that the public wants and can you cut costs with personnel? The fact of the matter is, you only cut a little bit of money if you cut personnel. Where you cut money is you stop engaging in huge government spending programs, which ends up being, you know, economic stimulus or what I would say corporate welfare.
It's not economic stimulus because, you know, all this money that the federal government spent, none of it trickled down to anybody. The money that the county spent, none of it trickled down to anyone in the county.
Right. And, you know, we have 80 years of experience that has never worked. I mean, in the Great Depression, when we had all those huge government spending programs, yeah, we built a lot of bridges and roads and dams and all that, but that did not get us out of the Depression. What got us out of the Depression was we had to go to war and we needed war material, so we had to put people to work in order to build tanks and planes and guns and, you know, bullets. I mean, that's what got you out of the Depression. And, you know, so, yeah, it's like nobody paid attention at all through history that the more you spend on government program and you tax the people, it's like what Margaret Thatcher says, pretty soon you run out of other people's money. And then you have Ronald Reagan when he takes office in 1980, and 3 years later after he cuts taxes and puts all those billions of dollars back into the economy, now people start buying cars and refrigerators and homes and mortgage rates come down. And the next thing you know, people are prospering because government got out of the way.
So why aren't there people protesting? Why aren't there people in front of the county buildings, you know, screaming that they're wasting their money?
Well, to some extent,
is it apathy?
To some extent, we do see some of that, you know, but people are looking for jobs. The people are at work. I mean, we schedule meetings at times when we know people can't come in and complain to us. You know, people feel like there's nothing they can do to fix the problem, whereas they can fix the problem. It's called elections. One of the great things about representative democracy is, while the people occasionally make a mistake, clearly they made a mistake in electing President Obama. Clearly they made a mistake in electing Joe Huffel and Jim Matthews. But you don't have to live with the mistake. And that's where the voters can make their voices heard, is go to the polls and vote these guys out and vote their policies out and those who would follow their policies out.
And as far as I'm concerned, that's not even the Republicans have traditionally been officially conservative, and the Democrats have not been. But that's not even really a Republican versus Democrat thing. That's the individuals.
Yes. I mean, the Republican Party has suffered in the last decade or so because it tried to be more like Democrats. I mean, what the main difference between the two political parties is the Republican Party stood for a series of principles: low government, low taxes, low debt, and try to keep government regulation to its bare minimum. Let the individual go forth and make of themselves what they can. Yes, a safety net for those people who can't, but by and large, stay out of people's way. That's a party that stands for something. Then there were the Democrats, who stood for everything else. And the way they won elections, they cobbled together groups of people who wanted things from the government. And eventually, if you cobble together enough people who want things from the government, you get more people to vote for your side. And therefore, being the party that stands for nothing ends up being the party in the majority, because they can appeal to everybody because they have no principles. Their principles are whatever it takes to get you to vote for me. And the public ultimately will see that and ultimately swings back and says, whoa, whoa, whoa. But each time there's the swing back of the pendulum, the difference between the parties narrows and narrows. In the last 10 years in this country, the Republicans tried to be more like Democrats because they tried to cobble together majorities by appealing to traditional Democratic voter groups to try to win elections. They thought that that was how you won elections, rather than sticking to your principles and being the party of fiscal conservatism, because the public ultimately understands that you can't continue to borrow and spend your way. You have to let people do it themselves and put money back into people's pockets. So you can't expand your business unless your taxes are down and you can afford to expand your business.
On the other hand, there's I guess maybe you can call it the exception that proves the point. Under George W. Bush, Congress was predominantly Republican, and they were horrible. I mean, people criticized George W. Bush, but really Congress under him, and he didn't control Congress, they were horrible. They spent money like crazy, drunken sailors. They were just spending money everywhere. And, of course, it was all under the 9/11 umbrella, you know, and it was insane.
Well, I mean, and you've actually proven the point that's an example that proves the point that I'm making. The Congress was controlled by Republicans. They could have put a stop to the runaway spending and elected not to, because spending all that money gets you votes and gets you put back into office.
But it didn't.
Well, they thought it did. They thought it would.
Yeah, it didn't. What happened was they ended up losing. Anyway, there are definitely differences. However, we've had people on this show who were Democrat and espoused thoughts of being officially conservative. We've had people that we know of, like, you know, not Hoffel Matthews, who's a Republican, but he acts like, well, I don't know what he acts like, you know, Genghis Khan or something.
Well, remember, he was thrown out of the Republican Party by the party chairman and the executive committee. And in fact, the party chairman said in the newspaper, Jim Matthews is no longer a Republican. So, I mean, listen, you can take a pile of manure and you can call it fertilizer, but it's still manure.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM WWDB. You can also friend us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BTM Radio. More of Between the Minutes next on Radio 860 AM WWDB.
The Between the Minutes radio show is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com, for the best in antivirus software security.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, the Executive Director of Townwatch Integrated Services.
And this is Pete Rodotti of Between the Minutes.
And Philadelphia needs you.
Who, me?
Yes, you. We need you to get involved in your community by joining a Townwatch in the city of Philadelphia.
How do I do that?
Oh, you reach out to me at 215-686-1459 or at www.townwatch.net, and we provide you with training, equipment, and the type of support you will need to be involved in your community.
So I can really join?
You can really join.
Join us at Philadelphia Townwatch Integrated Services.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show and talking to you about Cybersoft Operating Corporation. Cybersoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. Cybersoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you could purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. That's 1 year of protection for the low price of $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that is 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 860 WWDB with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. Our guest is Bruce Castor Jr. He's the Montgomery County Commissioner that is having people shoot arrows at him in all directions, and he's a stand-up guy. We were talking a little bit earlier. Montgomery County's in trouble because of Matthews and Hoffel. The election's coming up. Hopefully this will be a chance to fix it. You mentioned a few other possible things, a lot of really, you know, out there ideas, but they're not really that out there. I mean, Philadelphia has home rule charter. You mentioned home rule charter. You mentioned debt limits. I mean, people have debt limits on them. You go to the bank, you say, you know, give me some money. They say, no, that's a debt limit. But counties, government doesn't have that because there's always somebody willing to buy a bond. You just have to keep kicking up the price, you know, what you're willing to pay for that bond. So what about a debt limit?
It's absolutely scary that that county commissioners have the power to put the county in debt for 20 or 30 years. The temptation to borrow money, and we're talking, you know, we're not talking, you know, $100,000 here. We're talking tens of millions of dollars. To borrow that money, spread it around because you get the immediate benefit. You get the money in your hand and you get the immediate benefit in the public. You're the guy cutting the ribbon. You're the guy sticking the spade in the ground. You're the guy who put the bridge up, and somebody else is paying for it 20 or 30 years from now. So the politicians should not have unfettered discretion to borrow money because that has to be paid back sometime. at your house with your wife, you and she decide whether you're going to take a home equity loan out. You think about it long and hard because you know you're going to be paying that bill for the next 10 years. And then finally you decide whether to go forward or not. Politicians don't have to worry about that because they know it's somebody else's problem. My solution would be that we impose a debt ceiling on Montgomery County, maybe make it the equivalent of 1 year's budget, which would be about $450 million. We're already approaching that now, which is a record amount that we've reached just in the period of time that these guys have been in office. I do understand that a tornado might strike the courthouse or that there might be some horrific catastrophe.
Yeah, but if something like that happens, the state and federal government's going to kick in money.
Right, and there should be – I mean,
and insurance companies.
But my point is you have to guard against the possibility that you might need money in an emergency. But in order to do that, if you pass a debt limit of, say, $450 million, that in order to be able to go beyond that, all three commissioners would have to agree. It would have to be something that that would be an overwhelming need or something like that, or there had to be a referendum or some check on it so that it's so difficult to accomplish that if you really, really needed it, you'd go down that road. Otherwise, you try to live within your grasp or within your means. That's the way most people operate their households, and that's the way government should operate.
That's the way I operate my household. If I can't afford it, I don't buy it.
Right. And if you operated the way we did, you'd be in bankruptcy court.
Well, yeah.
Because you don't have the power to – see.
Do you think this can become an election campaign issue, or do you think it's going to be avoided by the other side?
Oh, I think that we will raise this as an idea. I know that Jenny Brown, who is my partner, who's a township commissioner in Lower Merion, has raised this very thing in her township. So it isn't as though it's a new idea. I know she's very keen on it. And I really can't see why anybody would be against having a debt ceiling, except if you want to admit that all you want to do is continue to spend money. And as I've said before, I think that the other side will pretend to be fiscal conservatives in order to win the election.
Well, pretend isn't what we need. I mean, if you look around right now, Texas is the only state in the nation that's not suffering. They're just not having economic problems like the rest of the country. And they're a very conservative state, but they even restrict how many days a year the Texas parliament, legislature can meet. And it's in their state constitution. They don't actually trust their own politicians to do what's in their best interest. So the way they limit it is by limiting how many days they can meet.
Well, I mean, I think that that's a pretty smart idea. I mean, a lot of people don't realize Montgomery County has 800,000 people. There are five states smaller in terms of population. And yet the entire legislative branch and executive branch is reposed in just three county commissioners. That's a pretty scary amount of power in just three men. And any two of which is always those other two, can put us into debt and can send us down the road to perdition.
Wow. Well, as the election goes on, we're going to invite you and maybe your running mate back to discuss what's happening, how the election is going. I know you kicked off. How do you think it's going so far?
Well, I mean, you know, you kick off these campaigns in the summer and then you sort of are quiet and try to get some news stories based on ideas. And you're behind the scenes raising money and making phone calls and trying to get people interested in the campaign. You don't really execute the plan until after Labor Day because media is so expensive and, you know, people aren't paying attention. Excuse me. What I'm worried about is there's a sentiment for Republicans and conservatism throughout the country. If they overplay their hand, it will hurt us. And that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about a government shutdown. I'm worried about the Republicans in Harrisburg, the Republicans in Washington overplaying that hand that will then trickle down negatively to us.
And there's really nothing that you can do about that at the county level.
No, I mean, obviously, I know the members of Congress from this area, and I talk to them about this quite frequently, and I hope that they're listening, and they seem like they are.
Well, I hope they're listening, too, not just because it'd be good or bad for a local campaign, but because they need to do the right thing by all of us. So thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM, WWDB, and on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. We'll be back with more Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM, WWDB, next week.